At their last meeting, Council approved funding for 6 pilot projects intended to help expand harm reduction services. This comes ahead of the planned closure for Kingston's Consumption and Treatment Services site at the end of September. This initiative is part of a multi-part response approved by Council in May to prepare for the provincially imposed transition to the abstinence-only Heart Hub model. $350,000 of funding was approved with the goal of funding new, innovative projects. A total of 8 projects were evaluated by a United Way-led panel, and a total of just over $281,000 was allocated to 6 of those projects. The approved projects include mobile meal and outreach services, survival supplies for people experiencing homelessness, peer-led public safety outreach, and mental health and addiction supports at community events. Council ultimately approved the funding at their Tuesday meeting, but not before making several amendments to the original recommendations from staff. The first amendment, brought forward by Councillor Connie Glenn, made a number of clarifications regarding administrative processes, intended to answer questions and communication difficulties that came up during the application process and remove administrative barriers that could delay the pilots getting underway. Among other things, the amendment included waiving fees, clear response timelines for city staff, and prohibiting the closing of services solely due to an outstanding municipal requirement. Glenn said the goal was to ensure the project could get out the door without unnecessary obstacles.
I think there's been, as would be expected with starting something so new, a number of challenges in communication difficulties. So we're dealing with people who are new to providing some of these services, new to dealing with a lot of requirements, and as we've heard, may have challenges, in fact, meeting the requirements. What we've tried to do here is to answer those questions. So there were a number of communications back and forth, some of which I was privy to, where questions were asked and clarity was sought by the applicants. So this amendment is really straightforward in that it seeks to clarify those questions so that as we move forward, the pilots can go ahead as unencumbered as possible without conflict.
The second amendment focused on the 6th application, which originally was slotted to require a reapplication before approval. Feed the People provides a free lunch to roughly 100 people a day, every day, from a tent in Bell Park. Its application was intended to help expand that work as the city prepares for the closure of CTS. But Feed the People had not met some of the municipal requirements attached to the funding, including being in compliance with park bylaws, licensing and permits, and insurance. Representatives and volunteers with the organization expressed that some of those requirements, including taking down and storing the tent and all equipment every day in order to be in compliance with the parks bylaw, would be impossible or difficult to meet for the volunteer-run operation.
With the CTS closure in just 50 days, this marks the first time that the city and this community can work together to hopefully protect the community at large. Administrative barriers should not be what's preventing organizations from providing what the community requires to help mitigate the heavy risks that are coming.
Please don't lose sight of the people in Bell Park. What happens at Feed the People is not just about food. It's one of the few places in the city where people are welcomed without judgment, where someone notices if you haven't showed up, where people are seen, they're spoken to, they're treated with dignity, where people are living with mental illness, addiction, disability, and deep trauma, where they can sit down, they can eat, they can feel if only for a moment that they belong somewhere. Feed the People is not an extra or an optional program. It's part of the fragile support system that keeps people alive and connected. And we all care about these people. And we have to make sure we're not unintentionally breaking the very thing they rely on. Tonight, Council has a chance to do that. You have people willing to show up every day. You have volunteers who are ready to know and already know the community. You have trust that has been built over years and years. Please protect that. Please support what is already in Bell Park. And please make sure that when we talk about policy in this chamber, we never lose sight that it's the people that it's meant to serve. So the license and permitting and bylaws that are facing us, if you can alleviate those, then we can absolutely stay and we can take care of people really well.
Councillors Gregory Ridge and Ryan Bohm brought forward an amendment intended to find a balance, allow Feed the People to move ahead with the pilot and access the funding, while still requiring the organization to meet basic regulatory and safety standards. The amendment would allow a parks permit for the pilot, eliminating the need to remove the tent daily, with conditions including specific operating hours, a waste management and disposal plan, and obtaining insurance.
So if Feed the People is going to continue operating there, and if they're going to be a recipient of this funding, based on what we've heard here and in the public and elsewhere for this pilot period, which is of a year's time, that they have to be compliant with the other regulations and expectations that would be there for any other organization. To me, I think that the mission of Feed the People is noble. It's not a question of why. We all agree with why. It's a question of how. And so I think that this amendment can help remove one of the significant barriers that has been expressed by multiple delegations, community representatives, advocates, while also recognizing that there is a serious responsibility that is attached to this funding to be a successful applicant, and that those things have to be followed if they are to be successful and to receive the funding.
Whether it's the city, the province, or the feds, cannot fill all the gaps in society. It's just not possible. Bureaucracy is cumbersome. There are rules. There are growing pains. There's just sometimes with policies what seems to be a simple lack of humanity behind them. And there is structures and liabilities that also have to be followed. And when you sit in these chairs, it can become very difficult to listen to some of the stories and hear some of the suffering and the trauma that's out there. And at time also feel handcuffed by policies and lack of funding and other things that exist that we just wish there were more of. And this is an attempt, in speaking with Councillor Ridge, to take a pragmatic approach to a group of people and volunteers who have put together a proposal and we're still just not able to take that tent up and down. We have new challenges today, such as affordable housing. It's a crisis. We have food insecurity. It's a crisis. There are all these things that some of these policies just are not fit or adapted to. So this is what may seem like a simple amendment, but it's an opening of a door to say sometimes you have to fix some existing policies with simple things like this and just recognize that you don't want to unnecessarily burden your volunteers in society who are filling a gap that we just are not really well equipped to fill.
Council approved the amendment, giving Feed the People a path to participate while maintaining conditions around permits, insurance, and waste management. The third amendment, brought forward by Councillor Jeff McLaren, dealt with what happens after the initial pilot period of 1 year. It directs that any unused funding remain committed to the pilot program, calls for a second application intake the second quarter of 2027, and asks for recommendations in the first report back to Council in the first quarter of 2027, respecting continuation, expansion, or replication of successful projects.
The community groups will become more compliant over time. The city will see more things that could be done. It'll be a change in mental maps for both groups, and the community will be stronger as a result of that. But, of course, we need to record these things, and that's what this amendment is for. It is a pilot project. We test which ones work best. We duplicate the ones that do, and we drop the ones that don't. But in order to do that, we need to signal to staff that although these are pilot projects, they may be renewed if they're successful, and if other people come forward, other people of goodwill and community spirit that see a need that needs to be filled, we can support them in that.
So often we get criticized for running pilots and then having nothing happen afterwards. The pilots go on and there's no continuity, there's no continuation, which is a deep frustration, I think, in a community that's got a lot of need. The original intent of the motion that was brought was to ensure that we were improving the situation and that we were finding other options to continue to support the community. As we've already heard, the need is not likely to go away anytime soon. So this gives clear direction that we want to see it continue if and where possible. We already allocated this funding. We want to make sure that it continues to move in that direction to support important services that may be missing in the community. So I think this provides that clarity. It gives us next steps and next considerations, which are critically important if we're going to change how we operate and change the services that potentially are available in the community.
While counselors remained hopeful about the potential impact of this investment into new projects, a familiar theme from throughout this council's term arose in the discussion: provincial responsibility. Counselor Brandon Tozzo emphasized this in his final statement on the motion.
I hate saying this again and again. We're putting a Band-Aid on a problem that the provincial government started. This is a decision of the Ford government, and we are doing our best to provide a little bit of extra funding to mitigate some of the harm. We can't change those decisions of the provincial government. That is beyond our level. That is beyond what we can do. We advocate for housing and homelessness. We have the Association of Municipalities of Ontario next week, Your Worship. And I guarantee you one of the hot topics, again, will be housing and homelessness. We speak about it again and again in advocacy that we do to our provincial government. Like, we've been getting email upon email to help Feed the People and help all these organizations. And we want to help. The real challenges are structural. Their affordability, their addiction, their health care. And time and again, we go and we beg for more resources, but we are at the whims of a different government and what they want to do.
With unanimous approval, the funding will now be administered through the city by the end of the month, with council set to receive a report back in the first quarter of 2027 on the first 4 months. For Kingston, these 6 pilots are intended to help fill some of the gaps left by the transition from the CTS to Heart Hub. But counselors and advocates alike emphasize that the underlying issues of housing, food insecurity, healthcare, and addiction services will extend well beyond this one-year municipal initiative. However, council is moving forward with cautious optimism.
I understand the challenges with doing some new things, but I think that we are moving in the right direction.
For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Christina Laurie.